This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And a good humid and moist morning to you.
Yeah, indeed.
That is the continuing saga of Bradford weather
Yes. This
year. But we are here, Igor, with you, and as always, the Master Gardener, Bob Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Igor.
So, what is on your mind today, 4th of July weekend?
The heat.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you're telling me that the heat kind of threw off your plans.
Yeah, it did. Sure did, yeah. But it's throwing off the plans of a lot of your plants also. And a lot of people never think about this, but for this long stretch of heat, your plants can get heat stress. And you may have noticed it, you know, your neighbor's tomato plant has grown tremendously. And yours has not. And heat stress can have a different reaction depending on what kind of soil it's in. Now, a lot of those potted tomato plants in a container, they're not so much having heat stress, mostly because of the soil type in them containers. If you've used the bag soil, it holds the moisture a lot longer. And, of course, by holding moisture, it stays cooler longer. And so those plants have done very well. But now the ones that may be in your garden soil, and again, dependent on your soil, and a lot of us are blessed with clay soils.
Yeah.
And they can heat up quite a bit and dry on the surface, but be wet when you get 2 to 3 inches down. And that warm, wet soil down below can rob your plant of oxygen. And of course, and then that's where plant growth really slows up. Sometimes just even stops, and even quite often the plant will look like it's wilted because it can't absorb water faster than it's evaporating from its leaves. So it'll look wilted, and you'll go out there and water, 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 and wonder why it's not perking back up. You know, that could be the reason. So, you know, always try every year to add a little organic matter to your soil, whether it be peat moss, compost, anything like that. Keep trying to build your soil up so it can get through these problems, heat stress. There can be cold stress, too. They're going to react about the same way, where a plant will be stressed out.
Yeah.
and not grow. Because remember last week I talked about the five resources that all plants have, matter of fact, all living creatures. And
what were those sources, real quick?
Yeah. So they were growth, reproduction, defense, healing, and vigor. And so if you're having trouble, if the plant is having trouble with growth due to heat stress, of course, it's trying to grow, but it can't. So then reproduction or defense or healing may be diminished a bit. So it's going to show up. And also by heat stress, it can the plant's really trying to grow. So it's dropping its defense. So it's more susceptible to some attack by some bug. So or if it's been injured, it can't heal as well as it should. So the heat can affect it a great deal in a number of ways. So, and it's all going to boil down to your soil, really. You can combat heat stress by having good soil. I had the opportunity to look over a garden a few days ago, a new garden, and it was planted in a low area. And that's going to go for Bradford, too. Anywhere where you get close to the creek, you're going to have a lot of sandy clay soils, and that they're not going to be great for plant growth. So they have to be amended. And maybe even when you do plant, you've tried to plant on little tiny mounds, whether it be a row of a mound or each individual plant in a mound, so that those roots aren't sitting in that damp soil because of the clay, and where they are lacking oxygen. So again, those low areas, you want to try to amend and amend, you know, every year, try to boost that soil up more and more. But I did see that with this garden that I got to look at, and it was all clay and sand. Looked good, you know, at first, but that's a light color, clay and sand, real light brown. And of course, from tilling it, there are, you can tell it's clay. There'll be large clumps that are near impossible to break up. A few of them I had to really jump on to even break them up. And that's due to the clay. You know, when the clay gets hot and dry, it turns into basically a brick. So that's not good for a plant. So, I keep repeating myself. So to combat all these problems, whether it be clay soil, sandy soil, rocky soil, or heat stress, is amend the soil as much as you possibly can. And then every year, add to it, too.
Add to it, like?
Compost.
Compost.
Peat moss, chopped up leaves, old straw. Maybe you've mulched your garden with straw. You know, leave that right on and rototill that right in. That's real good for the soil. And it goes on and on. Old sawdust, I like to use old sawdust. And I mean old sawdust when it starts to turn real dark brown. New sawdust is okay, but it's as it starts to deteriorate, it uses a lot of nitrogen out of the soil so that you have to add more nitrogen to that soil. And again, you know, a lot of people will think, well, my plants aren't doing well from all this heat stress, so I better fertilize them. And maybe that's not the case, you know, and the fertilizer may not be the problem, may not solve the problem for you because of the heat stress and poor soils. So, I guess I've really hammered that to death, haven't I?
I don't know. Well, what I was thinking of was because I forget the name of the bush, but I showed you. I thought it was a tree. You said it was a shrub or a bush.
Burning bush. Yeah.
That's the one that I had?
Yeah.
Okay. I planted that. I transferred it out of the pot.
Yeah.
Planted it, and it's not doing so well.
Okay.
But that might be because of, like you said, the heat. I don't know. It's a little wilty. It's a little, the leaves are a little reddish, kind of brown.
Okay.
But maybe that's what it's supposed to be. I don't know, but it.
No, they shouldn't turn red till near August.
Okay. So what I did was yesterday, I finally, I amended the soil like around where I planted it.
Okay.
I put some fresh, like some rich soil from compost.
Yeah.
Some grass clippings around
okay.
it too. And would that be enough or what else should I do with it?
Oh, that will help. That's for sure. Whether it's enough or not, you know, I can't really tell without looking at it.
I just don't know whether I should, because I remember you said there was a bad time to do fertilizer.
Yeah.
And is this a bad time or not?
No, we've had plenty of moisture, so it's not a bad time, as long as you're not fertilizing a dry plant.
Okay,
in dry
that's what
soil.
It was.
Always make sure the soil is damp before you fertilize. But also what you can be experiencing is what we call transplant shock. When you first put a plant in the ground, it starts to struggle a little bit. But that's really nothing to be concerned about. It will pull through that in time and then become a nice looking, healthy looking plant. So, yeah, you probably got a combination of both, the extreme heat that we've had and transplant shock. That's probably
okay.
probably it for that.
Good. Okay. Well, let's hope that that it gets over the shock.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long should I expect to see it looking happy again until, like, when?
Yeah, depending on the weather and your watering practices. You know, it can take a month, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe even a few weeks it'll perk up.
Just hoping it's not a lost cause. You know?
Depending on how vigorous the plant is, too. And the burning bush is a very vigorous plant, so it accepts a new location and starts to put out new roots very quickly. Some plants are very slow about it, like an oak. They're very, very slow after they've been established. Coming back from transplant shock.
Mm-hmm.
So just be patient. It probably will take,
mm-hmm.
and be fine.
Okay. All right. So what else is on the agenda today?
I got a little show and tell here
I
want to do.
You have a couple plants with you.
Yep. This one here is a miniature hosta.
All right. And by the way, when we say show and tell, you're listening to the tell part. But the show is on Facebook.com/WESB1075. Go to our Facebook page. We're streaming live right now, the live video.
One of my favorite plants and a very, very common plant in Bradford because they're so easy to grow. But there are different types. Now, this is kind of a miniature. This one's probably 10 years old. As you can see, it's not real huge. Doesn't take up a great deal of space. And an interesting thing about it, a lot of people dislike hostas because they throw up those really tall flower stems that bother a lot of people.
Bother.
Yeah. I like them. But this one flowers just above the foliage. So it has short flower stalks. But as it flowers, it hasn't bloomed yet. But after it has flowered, and it'll attract a lot of hummingbirds, so it's a neat one, and most of them are highly scented, too, that if you go in there, follow a stem down as low as you can after it's flowered and the flowers are gone, and clip that off, you've got a nice, tidy-looking plant, and you are helping it conserve energy, because after it flowers, it's going to want to make seed. Now, to make seed, all plants, it takes a lot of energy out of it. So it'll stop growing, throw all that energy into producing a good seed. By clipping that flower stalk down, you're sending the energy from seed production to growth production so that it looks a lot nicer, because you don't really want it to go to seed, because it's going to take years and years for that seed to grow in the soil anyhow.
Oh, wow.
They're just not known for reseeding very well, unless you got have those hostas that have been there for 20, 30 years. You may see a new one pop up, but it's really not worth it to most of us. So trim those spent flower stalks back. You'll send the energy to the plant. Your plant will become bigger and more lush year after year. And a little story behind hosta. The hosta was the very first imported perennial in America. And it still grows, that same plant, in Salem, Massachusetts. The hostas came from China due to a lot of plant collectors in the 1800s, mid to late 1800s, that got to go to China and collect a lot of the plants that we enjoy today.
And Joseph Hosta brought it over. I just made that up. Yeah. I don't know. That's how they got their name.
No.
Oh, no. Okay.
It was close, though. It was Mr. Host that brought it. And it had funny names when at first. The botanists couldn't decide what kind of plant it was. At first, they called it a lily, and then they decided it wasn't in the lily family. So they called it a plantain. Maybe it was in the plantain family. No, it wasn't in the plantain family, they discovered. So they really couldn't decide where the plant belonged. So they gave it a funny name called Funkia.
And Funky. I like it. Funkia.
Yeah. And I can remember as a young kid helping my grandmother in her gardens. Mm-hmm. That's what she said. You know, you want to go weed around the Funkias, Bob. And then finally, botanists decided, well, the reason we can't find what family it is, because it's all in a separate own family. So then it got the name due to a famous plant collector by Hosta.
Ah, there it is.
So interesting story behind the plant.
I knew you'd have something. I'll give some misinformation out there, and you set me straight. See, I knew you were going to do that. Joseph Hosta, no.
Yeah, no.
The real story is even more fascinating.
Daylily, another real popular plant around here. And most of the daylilies you buy are what we call a repeat bloomer. But to help them repeat the blossom, and I brought along my pruners. And after the blossoms are gone and spent, if you follow the stem that the blossom was on down as far as you can and clip that stem off again so it's not trying to make seed and sending all that energy into making that seed, now the energy can go back to the plant, and quite often it'll try to rebloom again. It's designed to do that. Even if you don't trim it off, it's going to bloom again. But to get those unsightly stems off there, the plant will look a lot better, and it will bloom more instead of just a few more blossoms here and there. So it's a good idea to just trace those.
Why don't you spin that around the other way so the camera can see what you're doing.
And I'll get right up here.
The webcam, again, facebook.com/WESB1075.
So I'm going to trace that old stem that has no more blossoms on it all the way back as far as I can and clip it off. Again, that's going to encourage more blooms. Here's another one. It may take a little while. And plus, by doing this, you're going to also observe any other little things that may be around there, any dead foliage. Give it a jerk right off. Any weeds that are down below it, try to pluck them out, especially if the soil is wet. Weeds pull a lot better when the soil's wet than they do when they're dry. So sometimes it's even beneficial to wet the bed.
Yes.
before you go out and weed. It helps a great deal.
Now, I'm noticing a couple different things here. We have a bent leaf whatever that, right? What's that called, a leaf?
Yeah, a leaf.
Okay.
Yep.
So what would you do with that? It looks damaged. But
yeah, it looks damaged, and it's probably going to turn brown here soon, so I just grab a hold of it and give it a quick jerk.
Okay.
And it'll break off where the damage was.
Oh, okay. Now, what about the ones that have the brown tips?
Same thing. You know, we can either, let me get over here. We can either cut that off. Or we can just remove the whole leaf. It's not going to really bother the plant. It's going to send up a new leaf right away to replace that leaf. But again, you can, if you want to spend the time, you can just clip off that bad part.
And what happens to that part then? We're at the cut line where you're cutting it.
Oh, it just will remain like that, but it'll stay green.
Oh,
so
okay.
The plant still looks like it's full of leaves and still... nice and lush.
Just didn't know if it would be flat or would it come to a tip eventually like the rest of the leaves?
No, it'll just heal over that wound and it won't continue to grow out on the daylily. Some plants will regrow the leaf, but on the daylily it won't. It just will remain a cut leaf.
Now, the brown tips that you were just cutting off, what if you just let them remain?
That brown... will continue.
That's what I thought.
It'll get mold and mildew and fungus in it, and it'll continue on down. It won't hurt the plant, but it will look unsightly because then you'll have that brown streak in there. So it does look unsightly. So
I just didn't know if it was like contagious, so to speak, to the rest of the plant.
No, it isn't. The daylilies are so tough. On some plants, yes, it can be contagious. But on the daylily, they're so tough and vigorous that it really doesn't harm them at all.
It's more just an aesthetic.
That's all. Thing. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the daylily.
The daylily and the hosta today. And these are
one of the
partial
most,
shade or?
Oh, those are a good question. They're both sun lovers.
Sun lovers.
But the hosta can accept shade and even enjoy shade. But they can grow in the sun with good soil. Now, if you have real poor, sandy, rocky soil that tends to dry out quickly, your hosta will suffer. So always amend the soil and maybe even put a mulch layer over. And that'll keep your hosta looking good, even in the sun. And I know they stress in all the books and all the information that they're shade plants. They are tolerant of the shade.
Ah.
They grow in huge fields where there's not a tree or shade protection anywhere. So they really are sun lovers, but will tolerate the shade. And, of course, there's not many plants that do tolerate the shade. So the hostas become a shade lover for us.
Wonderful. All right. Well, let's take a short break here. Thank our sponsor at Worth W. Smith. We'll be right back with the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM and WESB.com on demand.
Is your lawn looking a little brown and ragged? They have what you need at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. You'll find many options in the line of garden hoses, sprinkler heads, and fertilizers to turn that lawn back to the lush green carpet that we all love. But why stop there when you see the variety of decorative stone pavers, mulch, railroad ties, and landscape timbers? Let their staff at Worth W. Smith help you turn your backyard into the oasis you're looking for. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. What else is on your mind today, Bob?
I also wanted to talk about, you know, the bugs. I have talked about them in the weeks past in some areas. Depending on the temperature, humidity, some bug populations increase, some decrease. So if you are having a bug problem and have tried some of the ways that I have suggested, another way to do it is by sticky traps, which I kind of like to do. You can buy these little yellow sticky cards that you can place in your garden or around your plants that the bugs will get trapped on and stay off your plants. Or you can make your own with some Vaseline on a card.
Really?
Or on a ball or anything like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And, of course, those bugs will get on there. And they're stuck there for life and not on your plants. So try sticky traps. They can be very useful in the garden.
Sticky is the way to go. I have a big fly problem this year.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so we put up those fly strips.
Yeah.
And they're okay.
Yeah.
They don't always, you know, get as many as I'd like.
Yeah, true.
So do you have any more suggestions with flies particularly?
Yeah, there are certain plants that will help keep the flies away. Anything with a lemon scent. There are many plants with lemon scent. Lemongrass, lemon geranium, any of the onion and garlic plants. They help keep the flies and all bugs away. Just geraniums alone give off a scent that will help keep bugs away. Nothing will keep them all away. Nothing will. If you're setting outside on your deck or patio, one of the other things I like to do is set up a box fan, you know, those 20-inch box fans.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Air movement will just keep them away.
Yep, yep.
A lot of people have discovered even they have a covered porch, maybe to put up a ceiling fan. And that airflow will help keep the bugs away. So there are many, many different ways, and usually takes a combination of all of them, and you'll keep most of them away.
I've learned the fan trick at night for the mosquitoes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It works great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So great. So we have about, I don't know, 4 minutes left in the show.
Yeah. And since you mentioned mosquitoes, there's probably going to be a big population burst of mosquitoes because of all this dampness. It only takes a few days for that puddle to sit there for mosquitoes to breed and hatch out of it. So be aware of that. You know, if you do have any puddles in your yard, maybe it's a good idea to fix them puddles. If you have a plugged up gutter, you know, they love to breed up in gutters that have water, and maybe it's a good idea to get your gutters cleaned out. Any of those toys or kiddie pools, you know, it's a good idea to dump them out from time to time so the mosquitoes don't have a chance to breed and do their thing.
Or maybe a little bit of chlorine. I don't know.
Yeah, right? Maybe. Yeah. a little bit of that. Now, the people that have ponds, if you have fish in your pond, you're probably fine. The fish will eat the mosquito larva as quick as they are produced.
Ah, wonderful.
Most of the fish will.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if not the fish, the dragonflies will come in. And they'll feed on all that mosquito larva. I have a small pond in my backyard, and we just don't have a real mosquito problem with it. So that everything in there is doing its job like it's supposed to.
What do you have, koi, or what do you have?
No, I just have goldfish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't like koi at all.
No?
No. Now you got me started. They're a very demanding fish.
Demanding?
Very demanding. They are what we call water pigs. They constantly eat and grow. And so if you have pond plants, they will constantly feed on those pond plants to the point where they will start digging up the roots even.
Basically, aren't they carp?
Yeah,
they like are fancy, carp. Yep. Fancy carp.
Yep, yeah. Indeed, yep. I've had koi in the past, you know, and really enjoyed them. And you can train them even. We used to train ours to come right up to us and eat a hot dog out of our hand and so on. They're kind of neat in that way.
Well, but again, because you're feeding them because they're hogs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're water pigs. But if you want to have plants in there, and I love plants in the pond. I like the water lilies and so on. They will disturb them a lot, and any floating plants, they will eat them right up. So just be aware of that. You know, it's hard to beat a goldfish, 50 cents for a goldfish.
Hey, there
you know,
go.
Koi can cost a couple $100
yeah.
or more, so they're expensive.
All right. And what else? Any final thoughts with bug control before we end it today?
Depending on any plant that's highly scented, whether it be citrus or rose or anything, that's going to help keep the bugs away. Sticky traps, a great way to keep the bugs away. Air movement by a box fan or ceiling fan, going to help keep the bugs away. Any standing water, if you take care of it constantly, you'll help keep that mosquito population way down. So keep all those in mind. Don't go out, especially right now. Don't go out and spray your yard with an insecticide to knock out all the mosquitoes, because right now all the fireflies are in a important stage of their life.
Oh.
So we don't want to harm them because they are an important insect in our backyards too.
All right. And real quick, gnats. Is there any truth to use vinegar to attract them?
Yes. Okay. Yes, indeed.
Is that something to do with?
They're just really attracted to it, and they go in for a drink and drowned.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just as simple as that.
Simple as that. All right.
Yep.
And it doesn't take a lot, does it?
No, it doesn't take that.
Like
a little,
like a shot glass size kind of.
Yeah.
Thing,
a little saucer.
What about like a milk cap or something, like a milk jug?
Well, that's pretty small, but yeah that would help.
I don't know. I was just wondering. Okay.
Most people like to use a little saucer, a coffee cup saucer, something like that.
Very good. All right. And with that, I think we're good with today's show.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening. And remember, on demand at WESB.com, you can hear any of the episodes of The Gardening Show. And it's on Facebook as well, so you can watch that video at a later time. And we'll talk to you next week. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM, sponsored by Worth W. Smith Hardware.